This is Toby Sumter with your CrossPolitik Daily News Brief for Thursday, November 5th, 2020. Today you'll hear about, surprise, the election. We'll also talk a little bit about, how about voter fraud? An update on the shooting in Vienna, and then we'll close out with a cheery note about the new youngest member of Congress. Remember, if you come across a news story you think we might need to cover, please send it to news@crosspolitik.com. This is a great way to share articles and stories with us that may end up in our daily or weekly shows. news@crosspolitik.com. First up, the Trump campaign advisor says the math still points to Trump winning Arizona.
Let's talk the actual math of the Arizona vote, where it stands right now and what the trends are. There's 605,000 outstanding votes, an enormous amount of votes still to be cast. Right now, we have a deficit of 93,000 votes. Biden is clearly leading. But here's the thing. These votes that are outstanding are mostly Election Day votes. POTUS needs to win 58% of these remaining votes to make up for this deficit. Here's the election day trend in Maricopa County, which is by far the biggest county where Phoenix is, 62%. So it's very likely that we're going to eclipse the level we need and actually substantially win Arizona. But in addition to that, these votes are not all from Maricopa. They're also from the rural counties of Arizona, where we're doing much better than 62%, even into the 70s. So the math suggests strongly that we are going to win Arizona, and we will know as soon as Friday. Because of that, it's reprehensible for any news organization, Fox or AP, to call this state at this premature juncture. The president is going to win Arizona.
As it currently stands, late Wednesday, Biden would have exactly 270 electoral votes if he takes Nevada and Arizona, making Pennsylvania potentially irrelevant. But if Trump does in fact take Arizona, that would likely leave Pennsylvania as the battleground state. But all of that assumes a completely straight reading of the election results. If you caught the CrossPolitik live election night coverage, we talked to Patrick Kolbeck, former state senator in Michigan, who was monitoring polls in Detroit as a poll challenger, who noticed that a number of voting machines were illegally connected to the internet, ripe for compromise. Listen in.
I'm a poll challenger out in Cobalt Hall in Detroit. So we're making sure that all the absentee ballots in Detroit are counted accurately and fairly. So it's kind of interesting. A lot of stuff we're finding here is kind of questionable. I got to admit, there's actually the tabulator machines appear to be connected to the internet, which is a no-no and is ripe for voter fraud. So that's my big concern right now, and we're trying to get to the bottom of that.
So what would be wrong? What's the problem with them being connected to the internet?
You can hack an internet connection in a matter of seconds. Yeah. And when you do that, you can go off and manipulate the vote tally to be anything that you want.
Wow.
And the problem with the setup that we have right now here in Detroit is that these tabulators appear to be connected to the internet. Well, it's the precinct level votes that are going to be pushed out onto flash drives from these tabulators, which already could be compromised from the internet. So it's not a good situation. Usually you have them separated so that you can, if you get a change in the vote from a handoff between the county and the state, you can always go back to the precinct level votes and verify the accuracy there. Here, they've kind of made the whole system pretty much subject to manipulation, which is a concern.
Patrick, how would you know if it had been tampered with?
Well, you'd have to go in and, first of all, verify. If it's connected to the internet, you're already violating one of the sacrosanct rules of conducting an election, that you don't connect it to the internet. You don't connect it to a Wi-Fi system. Either one can be broached in a matter of seconds.
Wow.
But ultimately, it comes down to what are the number of ballots that you have, and do the number of ballots reconcile with the vote tally? And so, and it comes down to making sure you've got balanced precincts. Well, in Detroit, back on the August 4th primary election, 72% of the precincts in Detroit did not balance, which means that if you ever put those back into a recount to try to square things up, according to Michigan law, you can't recount any of those unbalanced precincts. So it's a open invitation to voter fraud. So that's what I'm working in on, and my background's engineering. So I love systems and processes, and I don't love what I'm...
Others, like Michael Anton at the American Mind, noted surface-level questions. He wrote in the American Mind, throughout the day, the president was also outperforming his expected result in key states such as Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. He even for a time looked like he was within striking distance in Virginia, a state Hillary Clinton won by 5 points in 2016. At one point, the New York Times meter had Trump's chances in North Carolina at 92%. The needle was also sliding in the president's direction in Arizona and Georgia, among others. And then, suddenly, the counting stopped. In at least five states, or parts of states, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. All but one with a Democratic governor. Coincidence? Surely. When has that ever happened? Well, it happened in Broward County, Florida, in 2018, when a dodgy Democratic election official appeared to be intervening illicitly on her party's behalf. The process only got back underway when the state's Republican governor intervened and had her removed from the process. But getting back to last night, sometime in the wee hours, additional ballots were, quote, found and added to early totals, which had Trump ahead. To no one's surprise, those votes were overwhelmingly, literally as much as 100% in some batches, for Biden. According to Nate Silver, no one's idea of a Trumpist, one tranche of 23,277 votes that turned up in Philadelphia were, quote, all for Biden. Absent some kind of harvesting or fraud or both, that's a logical and statistical impossibility. Through the night, all such ballots came from heavily Democratic areas posting unusually improbably high turnout, 85% in Milwaukee, a city that turned out at only 61% in 2016, and even with Obama on the ballot in 2012 at 71%, but 85% for Sleepy Joe. According to one report, seven Milwaukee precincts returned more presidential votes than they have registered voters. Turnout in Wisconsin overall is alleged to have been 89.25%, more than five standard deviations for the state's mean turnout since 1960, another statistical impossibility. The article continues, but you get the idea. On the one hand, Christians should not be carried about by every rumor or conspiracy. We do not call a conspiracy what everyone else calls a conspiracy. On the other hand, Christians should not be naive or foolish. Is it at least plausible that the full court press to bring every charge and accusation against Trump that might possibly stick over the last 4 years? Is it plausible that the same full court press could be involved in underhanded election dealings? Yes, that seems very plausible. Has it been proven? Not to my knowledge. But it seems very reasonable for Trump's team to ask for judges to examine these key states to see if there is, in fact, any evidence of fraud. A reminder that all the talks from this year's Fight Laugh Feast conference, Weapons for This War, up in the club member portal. And if you're not already a club member, what are you waiting for? Go to fightlaughfeast.com, become a club member, and get access to all the talks. Doug Wilson, George Grant, David Bonson, Jeff Durbin, Glenn Sunshine, and more. Also, if you want to rock your Fight Laugh Feast bona fides, and who doesn't, visit rowdychristian.com. That's rowdychristian.com. That's where you can find all our shirts, hats, hoodies, beanies, post-mill coffee, and more. Also, did you hear we started a new magazine? The Fight Laugh Feast magazine. 4 issues a year for $40. Go to flfnetwork.com, click on product, and then subscribe yourself, your best friend, your pastor, your neighbor. Do it today. There was a lone gunman in Vienna, and also Austria fumbled intelligence. From Reuters, large quantities of mobile phone footage have confirmed that the jihadist who killed four people in a rampage in Vienna on Monday was the only gunman. Early reports suggested there might have been more, but Austria fumbled intelligence on him, Interior Minister Karl Niehammer said on Wednesday. Austria arrested 14 people, aged 18 to 28 on Tuesday, in connection with the attack and is investigating them on suspicion of belonging to a terrorist organization, he said, but it would also have to investigate its own actions, he added. Before the terror attack began, according to the information currently available, some things also went wrong, Niehammer told a news conference. In July, neighboring Slovakia's intelligence service had handed over information suggesting the attacker had tried and failed to buy ammunition there, over in Slovakia. Huh, that might have been a tip. In the next steps. Evidently, something went wrong here with communication, said Niehammer, who called for the formation of an independent commission to examine the errors made in Austria. After receiving the tip-off from Slovakia, Austria's domestic intelligence agencies at the federal and provincial level made the necessary checks and sent questions back to Bratislava, Roof said. But the gunman, who was shot dead by police within minutes of opening fire on crowded bars on the Monday evening, was a 20-year-old with dual Austrian and North Macedonian citizenship, and it was not caught, or his jihadist terrorist interest was not sufficiently stopped. Born and raised in Vienna, he had already been convicted of trying to reach Syria to join Islamic State and spent time in jail. Maybe that should have been a clue. Members of the public had handed more than 20,000 mobile phone videos that the authorities analyzed before coming to the conclusion that there really was only one gunman, putting an end to lingering confusion on that point. Switzerland has also arrested two men in connection with the attack. Its justice minister said the two were obviously friends with the gunman. North Macedonia said on Tuesday three people were somehow involved in the attack and all had dual Austrian and North Macedonian citizenship, and it identified them only by initials. 25-year-old from North Carolina is now the newest, youngest member of Congress. Rising Republican star Madison Cawthorn, this is from the Daily Mail story, on Tuesday tweeted, "Cry more lib," after he was elected to represent a Western North Carolina U.S. House district. The 25-year-old will become the youngest member of Congress. He first drew attention after defeating Trump's preferred candidate in an upset in the June GOP primary runoff. Cawthorn, who was left partially paralyzed from a car accident, delivered a speech at the Republican National Convention in August, during which he stood up from his wheelchair with the help of a walker. Following his win, Cawthorn tweeted, "Cry more lib." He later added, "From the bottom of my heart, thank you. All glory goes to God, and I am excited to serve each and every member of this district. Thank you." In a statement, he said, "This election showed that we're a divided people. Americans are hungry for leadership that appeals to our highest aspirations, and that's precisely what I intend to do." Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, now 31, was 29 when she was elected. Madison becomes the youngest person to be elected to Congress in at least 50 years. She's the youngest Republican ever elected to Congress. Cawthorn turned 25 in August, which is the constitutionally mandated age to be eligible to serve in the House of Representatives. Missouri Republican Josh Hawley, age 40, is the youngest senator. The minimum age for senators is 30. Cawthorn added, "The days of AOC and the far left misleading the next generation of Americans are numbered. Tonight, the voters of Western North Carolina chose to stand for freedom and a new generation of leadership in Washington." The rising GOP star's win in the 11th congressional district allows him to fill a vacant seat previously held by Republican Representative Mark Meadows, who left to serve as President Donald Trump's chief of staff. Cawthorn defeated Democrat and retired U.S. Air Force Colonel Mo Davis, age 62. Davis said, "The voters have spoken, and while I'm disappointed, I respect their decision." In June, Cawthorn made national headlines when he unexpectedly beat real estate agent Linda Bennett, Trump-backed candidate, to win the Republican nomination for former House Representative Mark Meadows' seat. Following that win, he said Donald Trump called from Air Force One to congratulate him. "He congratulated me. He was talking about how amazing a victory it was. He defined it as beautiful, you know, like he does, just talking about how impressive it was that we were able to overcome just so many large obstacles that we did," Cawthorn later said. "I believe you know the president recognized we ran a campaign that was very difficult to beat, and also that we are someone who can really help ease this partisan divide that's going on in our country right now and help bring a lot of voters together," he said. This is Toby Sumter with Cross Politic News. Remember to send us stories and articles that you think we should cover to news@crosspolitic.com. You can find this and all our shows at crosspolitic.com or on our app, which you can download at your favorite app store. Just search Fight Laugh Feast. Support Rowdy Christian Media and become a Fight Laugh Feast club member, and get your very own Fight Laugh Feast t-shirt, as well as access to everything in our club portal. Check it out. Become a member now at FightLaughFeast.com. Have a great day.